Hi, folks. Bob Main here with episode number 100 of today's survival show, where it's my goal to help you harness the power of choice to live life the way you want on your own terms and strengthen your resolve. And I can't tell you how proud I am to say this is episode number 100. It's been a real pleasure, folks, and I gotta first of all come right out of the chute and say that episode 100 could not be possible without you, the listener. And I was gonna do something kind of special in this show. I was going to interview a bunch of people, and I was gonna bring folks on the show and kind of make this a real celebratory affair. But I started thinking about it, and I started realizing that this pretty much needs to be just another episode. I am going to do something a little bit differently than what I normally do, but it just needs to be another episode, because I don't want this show to be about me. I do want it to be about you, the listener. I am going to talk about some of you in the forum and so forth like that. I've got a few comments that I want to make, but I got to tell you, to each and every one of you who listens to this show, whether you do on iTunes, whether you download it to your MP3 player, whether you stream it off of the website, todayssurvival.com, I appreciate you all so much. There's about 1,000 listeners every week, and it's growing. There's about between 550 or 600 people every week that that take it off of iTunes, and then there's about another 400 to 500 every week that either stream it off the website or download it straight off of Today's Survival. You know, folks, it is because of that that I'm still doing this after 100 episodes. And I hope that it's not too long where I'm doing episode 200 and the listeners just keep on growing. So, you've tuned in for content. And so content is what I'm going to give you. But again, thank you, thank you, thank you. It was about a year ago when I started this show. I think the first one was in August. I'm going to have to go back and look at the archives. I think it was in August of 2009. The blog started July 3rd, but the podcasts I didn't actually start, I think, until either real late July or in August. And today is the 19th of July, 2010. So if you would have told me a year ago that a year later I would be dictating the 100th episode with 1,000 listeners or so every week, I would not have thought that was possible. All right, let's go ahead and talk about the main subject matter of this show. And I'm going to lay down the 15 basic principles of today's survival show. After doing this a year and doing 100 podcasts, it's kind of evolved this way. I started off with just a few basic principles, and it's kind of evolved into about 15 or 16 of them. And I want to share those with you. And I'll bet you by the time I do podcast number 200, I'll probably add another half a dozen principles. But I think if you want to be prepared, and if you want to truly be ready for situations that may come your way, for stink hit the fan events, then what I'm going to talk about in the next 20, 30 minutes or so, I think, is going to be highly important. Couple of announcements I want to get out of the way real quick. I'm not going to spend too much time on this. But somebody that interviewed on this show several weeks back, Suzanne from All-in-One Preparedness, has decided to run a special, and I told her I would start doing this with episode 100. Some of you, I know you've ordered some of her dehydrated food. Excellent food storage, folks. Lasts about 27 years. So if you're looking for long-term food storage, this is an excellent opportunity for you. She has decided to drop the price of her sample pack down to $50. It was about $55.75. Now it's $50 from now through September 1st. Couple of things about All-in-One Preparedness. They've got an incredibly good canning technique, and all of their foods are nitrogen-packed, and they're vacuum-sealed in heavy-duty, corrosion-resistant, BPA-free U.S. steel cans with double enamel coating. And they've been time-tested for 27 years. Check it out, okay? Go to allinoneprepareness.com. So I'll be talking a lot about her and her company from now through September 1st. Once again, allinoneprepareness.com. You need to use coupon code TSS for today's survival show to get your discounted price of $50 on the sample pack. Next, I want to talk about the website, Today's Survival. Freedomraffle.com. I just made a few changes to it. Check it out. Also, let me talk to you about my Freedom Raffle. That's what the addendum to episode number 99 was about. Real quick, 20 seconds here I want to give you on the Freedom Raffle. It's about freedom, folks. We have to keep our freedom. I'm going to do several different fundraising events for different organizations. This one happens to be preserving gun rights. So if you're a firearms lover and a firearms user, and by the way, you should be a firearms user. If you want to be prepared, you should have a firearm. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. This is not a gun show. I don't think that firearms are your only preparation, but you need to have one. You need to have some way of defending yourself in case this thing hits the fan. I'm trying to raise some money for gun rights organizations. So the NRA, possibly opencarry.org, Second Amendment Foundation, the Handgun World Show, and the Gun Rights Radio Network are going to be beneficiaries of the programs, the proceeds from my raffle. I'm raffling off some cool stuff, folks. First of all, CompTac Holsters has donated two $100 gift certificates, so there'll be two winners. And Knives and Gear, Jeff Lytle, owner of Knives and Gear, has donated a $100 gift certificate. So that's another prize. Also, a Ruger LCP pistol, a 380 pocket pistol. If you're looking for a good concealed carry in 380 caliber, the Ruger LCP is one of the best, and I'm giving one of those away too. There's going to be four winners. Grand prize is a pistol, or you can end up getting a holster, custom made. Anything that CompTac makes, they'll make it for you, up to $100 in value, and some pretty cool knives. If you're a knifeaholic like me, you might want to just buy a raffle ticket just to have a chance to get a new knife. $10. That's it. Where else do you waste 10 bucks? Don't waste $10 this week and buy a raffle ticket. And go to todayssurvival.com, click Freedom Raffle. You'll see a page called the Freedom Raffle right there. Just use the donate button, and it's $10 a ticket. Finally, if you hear some background noise, I'm in the car again. I like to do this podcast while I'm driving. I like to take advantage of a little bit of windshield time. I'm headed on I-35 north up to Oklahoma for a business trip. So while I'm cruising here at about 72 miles an hour or so, I will get episode 100 knocked off here for you. And with that, the announcements took a little bit longer than I thought that they were going to. Thank you for bearing with me on that. Let's get into the 15 major principles of today's survival show. First of all, when you are preparing, there's going to be times where you're going to fail. And you've heard me talk about one of my mentors, Tom Hopkins, many, many times. And, you know, Tom Hopkins used to talk a lot about dealing with failure, because failure is a part of life, folks. And anybody who has tried something and succeeded at it has failed. I've had some failures on this show, on this podcast. There were a couple of times where I almost decided not to do this show anymore. And I had to overcome some of those failures and think about it. So principle number one, don't see failure as failure, but only as a learning experience. What can you learn from that failure? Keep in mind, show me a successful person and I'll also show you somebody who's failed a lot. I'll say that again. Show me a successful person, I'll also show you somebody who has failed a lot. Home run hitters typically have a lot of strikeouts. Brett Favre has more touchdowns than anybody else in the National Football League. He also has more interceptions than anybody else in the National Football League. So failure is not just failure, it's a learning experience. Principle number two. These are not necessarily in order. I thought of these and I wrote them down. Principle number two of today's survival show. Your mind's like a parachute. It works best when it's open. Nothing worse than a closed mind, folks. If you have a closed mind, forget about it. Turn this podcast off, and you know what? Don't even bother listening to any other survival shows or get on any other survival blogs. You have to have an open mind. There's always more than one way to skin a cat, and you know what? People are going to have different ways of doing things. One of the best threads on our forum, at today's survival forum, and it was actually, I think, M. Barnattle from our forum. Let me go ahead and give a call out to him. Thank you. Thank you, Mark. His handle is M. Barnattle. I believe he started a thread talking about the alternative uses for different items, and every once in a while he picks an item and he puts it up there and he says, let's all come up with some cool uses for these items. That's what I mean, having an open mind, letting your creativity flow. So thanks, Mark, thanks for doing that. Your mind's like a parachute. It works best when it's open. Number three, I just recently did a podcast on this. This is so important. If you're going to survive, and you know, a lot of podcasters don't talk about this. I don't even see a lot of blog posts about this. Go to survival blogs, go to different survival forums, listen to different survival podcasts. You're not going to hear a lot of people talk about this next principle of mine. You get what you negotiate. I'm a firm believer in that. You get what you negotiate. You know what? I mean, let's face it for a minute. If the stink hits the fan and people are stressed out, there's going to be people that are going to be without supplies, you know, and nobody can prepare for everything perfectly. You might have some supplies that you need. Somebody else may have something. Excuse me. You may have some supplies and that other people need, or somebody else may have something that you need. That's how I want to bring that forth. Can you barter? Can you negotiate? Sometimes all you can get is what you can negotiate. And even before the stink hits the fan, when I talked about negotiation, I think it was in episode 98, I talked about how to get deals on things right now and the principles of negotiation and people skills and setting yourself up for success whenever you try to work out any kind of a transaction with somebody. That's a big survival skill, especially in business. If some of you are listening to this show and you're a small business owner, you're going to have to negotiate with your suppliers. You're going to have to negotiate with your creditors. Hopefully you don't have very many. But you're going to have to also negotiate with potential customers. You get what you negotiate. That is a survival principle. And I'll be talking about more about that in the future as well. Next, principle number 4. All problems cannot be fixed at the voting booth. You know, I don't like to make this show much about politics, but I'm going to say something here about politics. Just for a minute, bear with me. I don't care what your political views are. All political opinions are welcome here on Today's Survival. I just want to say, folks, that's not the answer to our problems. It's not the entire answer. If you think this world's going to change this November in 2010 at the voting booth, I'm sorry, you're mistaken. I don't care what party you're with. I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, Libertarian. It doesn't matter. Perhaps we can do some improvement, right? I mean, you know, obviously the incumbents that are in politics right now, the politicians that are there, obviously they're screwing a lot of things up. I think the majority of Americans feel that way. But that's not the entire answer. All problems cannot be fixed at the voting booth. Problems start with, the fixes to problems start with you. It starts with you and what's inside of you. And when are you going to declare that peaceful revolution? That's when problems start to get fixed in your life. When you declare a peaceful revolution and you say, I've had enough. I've had enough of living this way. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I've had enough of living this way. I'm going to start changing. That's when problems change. So don't look for the government to fix your problems. Principle number 5. This is near and dear to my heart. Something else I don't hear a lot talked about on other podcasts. I'm trying to differentiate myself from a lot of the other shows out there. I think I've done a pretty fair job of doing that. So principle 5 of this show, children are the future of survivalism. That's why I dedicated episode 99 to Alexander M., who's the 16-year-old survivalist. Go back and listen to that if you haven't. Our young folks, it is the future. A lot of us are in the preparedness mindset, and we're in the preparedness arena because that's the way we were brought up. Like me, brought up in a small town on a small farm, having to grow up self-sufficient because we didn't have a whole lot of money. We had to produce a lot for ourselves. I won't get into too much about my story. You guys know, if you've been listening for a while, for those of you who are new, I was born in New York City, but at 3 years old or so, we moved to Wisconsin, and I was raised in Wisconsin on a small, what I call a hobby farm. And I call it a hobby farm. Somebody asked me why I call it that, because we didn't make any money on it. It was kind of our hobby, but it also sustained us. It also kept us alive, and it kept us living a decent life when we didn't have hardly anything. And my dad died at 13 years old and left us broke. So children are the future of survivalism. If you want them to carry on your legacy, teach them. Teach them now. Teach them what you're learning. They love it. Let me share a secret with you. Kids love preparedness and self-reliance. They get into that. Those are great learning experiences. Shut the TV off. Shut the computer off and the video games. Start teaching them about survival. Number 6, the 6th principle. Again, not necessarily in order, but failure is also a chance to develop your sense of humor. I want to talk about laughing. I'm going to do some more shows on humor. I'm not a comedian, folks, but I'm going to do some more on how to keep your sense of humor and how to keep laughing about some of the things that you come across day in and day out. It's a stressful life, folks. And let me tell you, there are a few things out there that reduce stress easier than laughter. Spend about an hour a week just listening to some funny stuff. Okay, listen to some comedians. Just laugh. Spend some time telling jokes with people. Spend some time with kids and laugh with kids. Laugh with your spouse. Laugh with your significant other. Okay, think of things, folks, as a chance to develop your sense of humor. I'll share a little secret with you. If you laugh every time you fail, you can be in stitches half the time. Things are funny. Learn to find the humor out there. Principle 7, prepare mostly for everyday emergencies, not unrealistic theories. Okay, everyday emergencies. Everyday emergencies, like, for example, if you should lose your job, if a loved one should pass on, God forbid. If your child gets real sick, or if your spouse gets real sick, and you have tons of medical bills. If you get into a car accident, if your home gets broken into, if a fire starts in your home. If you're assaulted while going to a convenience store, if you're hiking or hunting or trapping and an accident happens out in the wilderness, how are you going to survive those things? Those are more everyday type stuff. Spend more time preparing for those. If there's a first aid emergency, are you ready? Okay, those are the types of things that are a lot more likely to happen instead of nuclear bombs, EMPs, worldwide apocalyptic collapse, stuff like that. Okay, I'm not saying those are impossible. But I think it's highly unlikely. And some of those really, really bad emergencies, some of those apocalyptic emergencies, the end of the world as we know it, it's going to be very, very difficult to survive for a long, long length of time. If we get to that point, you know, folks, I got some spiritual beliefs that say, hey, when we get to that point, you know, we're probably going to be transitioning to the next life anyway. And I'm not trying to impose religious beliefs on anybody. I'm a Christian, and so I believe that there is heaven. And I do believe that because of my faith, that is where I'm going. But if you don't believe that, that's okay. You don't have to believe that to be a survivalist, and I'm not going to chastise you if you don't believe that. But it's the everyday stuff. See, if we can get through the everyday emergencies, we will be stronger if there is an apocalyptic event. Okay, next I want to talk about principle number 8, and then I'm going to play an audio soundbite for you. Become an independent thinker. Check every idea that you hear. Check it with your common sense barometer. Develop a common sense barometer. That's point number 8 of the founding principles of today's survival show. And you know, my good friend Randy Croft, when he and I were developing this show, we got the idea to do this. And you know, this show has been inspired by a lot of people. One of them is Randy Croft. And you know, we thought about, hey, let's come up with a common sense show. Let's come up with a show that doesn't have a lot of profanity in it, one that doesn't talk about a whole lot of whacked out conspiracy theories, one that everybody can listen to, one that's easy, and one that coincides with your common sense barometer. You know, does it make sense? Is it something that checks up with reality? I like to keep this rooted in reality, so make that the 8th principle of today's survival show. And with that, I'm going to cut to an audio soundbite. I want you to listen to a guy named Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman. Now, he's a firearms and a law enforcement instructor. And even though firearms preparedness ideas like guns and ammo and things, even though that's not all you need, you do have to be defended. Lieutenant Dave Grossman has an excellent series called The Bulletproof Mind. And I do another show called The Handgun World Show. If some of you do like to talk about guns, check me out over at handgunworld.com. But Dave Grossman talks a lot about the bulletproof mind. And he focuses in a lot about the types of threats out there, the types of violent threats that there are out there. To deny that there's violent threats out there is highly naive. That has to be a small part of your preparations, and you have to train for it. So listen to this. This tells you about the kind of people that we face in this society. This also tells you about the kind of people that we're likely to face if the stink hits the fan and people are not prepared. Tune in. Listen to this. It's about 9.5 minutes long. Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman on The Bulletproof Mind, and I'll be back on with some comments. Here you go.
Let me from the Journal of the American Medical Association. Quote, the introduction of television in the 1950s, just the stuff in the 50s, caused a subsequent doubling of the homicide rate, i.e., long-term childhood exposure to TV is a causal factor behind approximately one-half of the homicides committed in the U.S., or approximately 10,000 homicides committed annually. They go on to say that if, hypothetically, TV technology had never been developed, there would today be 10,000 fewer homicides each year in the U.S., 70,000 fewer rapes, and 700,000 fewer injurious assaults. The American Medical Association said just a few years ago that the number one healthcare emergency in America is media violence. Every single major medical scientific body in the world that has ever looked at this topic has come to the same clear-cut conclusion. The National Institute of Mental Health in 1982 assessed 2,500 scholarly studies from around the world and came to the conclusion that there is a clear consensus about the link between media violence and real-world violence. As the child gets older, and now we have the classical conditioning. Remember Pavlov's dog? Remember where you associate the bell with the food and the salivation and all that business? Well, what happens to the kids is this. They get to a certain age and they realize that it's not real anymore. They realize that it's not real, and they wonder how to respond, and they learn to laugh and cheer in response to it. They learn to associate pleasure with vivid depictions of human death and suffering. The Japanese were the real masters at this. What the Japanese would do is, in World War II, they would take out an enemy prisoner, a Chinese or an American or a British prisoner, and they'd tie him up to a stake, and then they'd have their young unblooded privates all gather around him, and one of those privates would take the bayonet, and they would bayonet this enemy prisoner to death. A brutal, horrific, long, tragic way to kill another human being. And while that Japanese private was butchering this individual, what did all the other privates do? They cheered and they laughed and they mocked his suffering. And then that night they were given the best meal that they've had in months, and the sake is shipped in and the comfort girls are shipped in. And they learned to associate human death and suffering with what? Pleasure. Pleasure. Now our children are sitting in the movie theaters and they're watching vivid depictions of human death and suffering. What do they do when they see somebody being vividly, horrifically, brutally murdered on the screen? They cheer and they laugh like those Japanese soldiers, and they learn to associate it with their favorite candy bar and their favorite soft drink and their girlfriend's perfume. And they become systematically not just desensitized to human death and suffering, but they learn to actually associate it with pleasure. After the shootings in Jonesboro, one of the high school teachers that's right next door to the school where the shootings happened came to me. And she said, you know, all this stuff that you're talking about as far as this violence enabling in the media, I saw it in my kids yesterday. Now, the high school is right next door in this kind of rural school district. These are the big brothers and the big sisters of the kids that have just been shot to bits. She said, we heard the shots, and I ran to the office to find out what's going on. She said, I came back to my high school classroom with tears in my eyes, the most horrible moment in my life, and I told my students, the sounds that you just heard was somebody shooting a bunch of the middle schoolers. And she looked at me with horror in her eyes, and she said, you know what they did when I told them that? They laughed. They laughed. Now, they weren't laughing later, and they weren't cheering later. An hour later, when the reality had set in, but society had taught them to laugh and cheer at human death and suffering, like the Romans sitting out there in the Colosseum, laughing and cheering at death and suffering. The next step is operant conditioning that makes killing a conditioned response, an automatic reflexive conditioned response. What are the kids doing when they play the video games? The kid puts a quarter in that video game and picks up a gun. What is he doing? Stimulus response, stimulus response, stimulus response, stimulus response. Not hundreds, but thousands and thousands of times they are being conditioned to immediately, reflexively, mercilessly, brutally gun down their fellow citizens. When you're out there on the firing range, if you point your gun in the wrong direction, if you fire in the wrong direction, you fire at the wrong time, what happens to you? Very bad things happen to you. And that's the way it ought to be, because that discipline is the factor that makes it possible for your society to entrust you with lethal force. If you do not have that discipline, then what you have is individuals who are capable of the violence, but without the discipline. And that is what happens when the kids play the video games. They point and shoot and point and shoot and point and shoot. Now understand that the military and the law enforcement You've only got to go be qualified about once every 6 months to really be at your peak. All you got to do is go fire 50 rounds once every 6 months, and the conditioning is there. Where the kids, they're doing these things weekly. These point-and-shoot video games, they're not video games, they're firearms trainers. Our only advantage as warriors has generally been in our training. But you know what? The training advantage is now being lost because they're able to get thousands and thousands of hours on the range and fire thousands of shots for just a few quarters. Kids across America today have an immediate expectation that when they pick a gun up in their hand, they will kill. They will shoot. You know, as a hunter, you spend days in the woods and never fire a shot. A policeman, a soldier, spends weeks and weeks carrying a weapon around and never fires a shot. But the kids across America have this expectation that when they pick up a gun, the first thing they'll do is they will shoot, and they will shoot at what? Human beings. Now, I want you to understand how powerful and effective these things can be. Let me give you another case study. And this is the most powerful one that I've ever seen. It happened in a place called Paducah, Kentucky. A kid by the name of Michael Carneal, a 14-year-old kid, walks into school with a .22 caliber pistol. Now, Michael Carneal had never fired a pistol before in his life, before stealing that gun from a neighbor's house and firing a couple of practice rounds. His parents had protected him from guns for a lifetime. He'd fired a .22 caliber rifle one time at camp. He walks into the school and he fires 8 shots. Now, the FBI says that less than 20%, less than 1 bullet in 5 of the rounds fired by trained, qualified, hardened, conditioned law enforcement officers hit their target. It's very hard to hit moving targets. Most people don't sit there and cooperate and hold still for you while you're shooting at them, number one. Number two, the stress of killing another human being puts you over the top. Number three, the potential of bullets coming back at you. You add those together, and it's astounding that we get 1 bullet in 5 in on the target. Now, Michael Carneal, 14-year-old boy, had never fired a pistol before, fires 8 shots. How many hits does he get? 8 shots, 8 hits on 8 different kids. 5 of them are headshots. The other 3 are upper torso. Well, the thing you need to know about this kid was he was the master of the video games. His parents had arcade-quality games in the house, and he had shot and shot and shot and shot. And so what happened was he came in, he planted his feet, and he never moved his feet. He held the gun up in a two-handed stance, and he got this blank look on his face. And then he began to open fire. Now, there weren't a great quantity of kids in front of him. There was a prayer group that had just broken up and were splitting up. It wasn't like there were hundreds of kids in front of him. There were just a couple of dozen targets. He held the gun up. He never fired far to the left. He never fired far to the right. Never far up. Never far down. Stood there with that blank look in his face and put one shot in everything that popped up on his screen. What was he doing? He was playing a stinking video game. And this business of one shot in every target, this is really astounding. It is not natural to fire one shot at every target. It's not natural. The natural response is to do what? To shoot until the target drops and then move on to the next target. Where did he get this one shot at every target business? What do the video games teach you to do? If you're really, really, really good, what are you going to do? One shot, and don't even wait for them to drop. Go to the next and the next and the next. And you know they're going to drop because you've done it thousands of times. And oh, by the way, the video games give bonus effects for what? Headshots. Headshots. In the annals of military and law enforcement and criminal history, I cannot find an equivalent achievement. The military and the law enforcement community has always used role models. We have had role models that we hold up in front of individuals, and we call them heroes, and we give them medals, and they commit acts of incredible valor on the battlefield, and we say, if you do the same thing, we'll make you famous too. And for 5,000 years of recorded human history, these role models have been the single most valuable and useful tool that we use to inspire people to engage in acts of disciplined violence for their civilization. Well, now what happens is the kids are getting role models. Jason and Freddy and sociopaths on the movies.
Okay, pretty provocative stuff there, huh? But that I played that to make the point as to what are we teaching our young people. Let me know what comments you have on that. There's a comment section below every show posting. I will put a link to that audio clip in the show posting if you want to send that to some other people. Or, you know, send them a copy of this podcast as well. Because some of the other information on here, they're probably going to want to hear. Or get on today's Survival Show forum. If you go to todayssurvival.com, click the forum tab, you can become a member of our forum and comment on that as well. All right, principle number 9. Now, again, this is not in order because really this should be first. I should have talked about this first, but I forgot about it. But the number one thing everybody should do to prepare. This is primary. This is the most important. You may argue with me on this. You may disagree with me. That's okay. Disagree. I'm an open-minded guy. I practice what I preach. My mind's like a parachute. It works best when it's open. But somebody tell me why you should not get out of debt first. That's principle number 9. Get out of debt first. That's where it all starts. As Dave Ramsey says, and Dave Ramsey changed my life taking his 13-week Financial Peace University course about 6 years ago. My wife and I became debt-free except for the house. We still remain debt-free except for the house today. It frees you, folks. It is liberating. It is the opposite of slavery. When you are debt-free, you are truly free. And you can prepare better than any other time in your entire life for what is about to come in the future. You know, preparations cost money, folks. They cost money. Sometimes they can be expensive. Even if you're frugal, even if you're wise with your money, you'll have more money to go around if you are debt-free. Debt is a killer. Get rid of your credit cards. Go get the book Total Money Makeover by Dave Ramsey. Total Money Makeover by Dave Ramsey. I will link to that. So that is principle number 9 of today's survival show. Number 10, make sure you've got water and food storage second. I think once you've gotten out of debt first, then prepare food and water second. Some people say, well, Bob, you know you should do those at the same time. Okay, I agree with that. If you feel like you can get out of debt and prepare food and water at the same time, that's fine. That's good. Because food and water is like money in the bank. Think about this. What if you had no debt? What if you had an emergency fund, a couple $1,000 in your emergency fund? All right, a couple $1,000 cash in your emergency fund, and 3 months worth of food and water. Think about that. Let's say that's all you focused on is get all your debt paid off, have a $2,000 emergency fund, and 3 months worth of food and water. Do you realize if you have that, you can withstand probably 90% of any emergencies that are going to come your way? I'm 100% serious. That will carry you through most of any of the everyday emergencies that I talked about preparing for in founding principle number 7, where I said prepare mostly for everyday emergencies. If you've got 3 months worth of food and water, no debt, and you got a couple $1,000s in your emergency fund, folks, you are more prepared than 95% of the people in the world. Trust me on that. Principle number 11, prepare for self-defense third. So get out of debt first. Set up water and food storage second, and prepare for self-defense third. That audio clip that you just heard from Lieutenant Dave Grossman, if that doesn't convince you to prepare for self-defense, I don't know what will. The things that people are being taught these days make them more violent than ever before. And don't think for a second, folks, that people are not going to get violent after this thing hits the fan. They will. It is naive. Please, please, have at least one firearm for self-defense and know how to use it. Principle number 12. Develop a sphere of influence. I'm a big believer. There's a lot of other folks in the survival community that are a big believer in that. I'm huge into developing a sphere of influence, a network of people that you become friends with, like-minded people. That's why I push our forum so much. That's why I encourage people in the forum to be active. That's why we run all kinds of contests and raffles and things like that. It's so we can be active, so we can be like-minded, so we can connect with each other. That's why there's a chat room on our forum. And by the way, we police our chat room very heavily. Get involved in our chat room, folks. You're not going to be disappointed. Building that sphere of influence and connecting with other people that think like you do, that have the survival type mindset, that's key, folks. That's huge. You never know when you're going to need those people to help you. In a stink hit the fan event, you may need their help. Surviving by yourself is next to impossible. Surviving as a team of other people is very doable. If you don't have a bug out location to go to, if you don't have a separate location that you own, perhaps somebody else does. And if you've networked with them, if you've traded ideas and you've traded skills with them, the chances are very good they're going to be able to help you out and possibly take you into their location if the stink hits the fan. Number 13, learn a new skill every month. Learn to do something every month, even if it's making a paracord bracelet or something real basic. Learn to do it. If it's learning how to can, if it's learning how to plant something in your garden, if it's learning how to raise chickens, if it's learning how to hit the bullseye with your .22 rifle, if it's reading a book by Cody Lundeen or James Talmadge Stevens or Andy James and many of the others that I've mentioned on this show, even if it's just reading one paragraph every month, if it's listening to a podcast like this or another podcast out there and picking up just one idea every month, just one idea a month can go a long ways. One idea a week is huge, but even if it's just once a month, learn something new. And that kind of ties into Principle 14, read something new every day. Read. You know, reading is something I struggle with. I don't really like to read. I force myself to read. I typically read on the internet. I read ebooks. I read good articles. I read good blog posts. Sometimes I have to sift through a lot of garbage, but there's a lot of garbage books out there too. I stick with the people that are relatively well known in the survival and preparedness field. And I read, and most of it is on the internet. You know why? Because my iPhone and my computer are almost always with me, and they're good sources of reading. And by the way, don't discount technology for survival. I did a whole podcast on that, and I got another one coming up, too. Don't always assume that technology is going to be unavailable to you. Oftentimes it is. Unless it's a really major end-of-the-world type event, probably some type of technology. Even a ham radio, that's technology, folks. A ham radio is technology. So be a constant student and read something every day. Principle number 15. This one's also near and dear to my heart. Your home is your castle. Be prepared to defend it. Your home is your castle. I'm a big believer in bugging in, not bugging out. If you have a bug out location you can go to in case a major disaster comes and wipes out the entire area you're in and you have advance notice and you can leave, or maybe you just want to drop out of society, maybe something really bad has happened and you just want to drop out for a while, maybe pop back in later, but maybe not, and you have a bug out location, that's great. Then that will be your home. That will be your new home. Be prepared to defend it as well. And if you don't, if you're like me and you don't have a bug out location yet, all right, because I haven't quite saved enough money, I want to be able to get a bug out location that I can pay cash for. Or if I have to go into debt, I don't want to finance more than about a third of it. All right, so I'm not upside down. I want to do it the smart way. Then for me, my option is bugging in. My home is my castle. Fortify it. Fortify your home. Remember the different layers of protection that I've covered. I've talked a lot about home security on this podcast. Remember, secure the perimeter, then secure the entry points. Have some kind of an early warning system, like an alarm. I'm a big believer in home security alarms. And then, if someone gets by the perimeter, if someone gets by your entry points, if somebody gets by your early warning system of your alarm, I hope you have that firearm ready to send them out horizontal. And you know what? There's actually 16 principles. I said there were 15. When I looked at my show notes, I realized, oh, there are 16. 16 I had written down. This one is last, but certainly not least. And one of our forum members, a dedicated supporter of this show, Lieutenant Commander Spencer Baker. Thank you, Mr. Baker, for this, because this is something also not very often talked about, and I'm going to be talking more about it in upcoming episodes. Fitness. Physical fitness. It is huge for survival. Survival now, before something bad happens, because staying physically fit keeps diseases away. Proper nutrition and proper eating and proper diet helps keep diseases away. But let me tell you what, folks, if the stink hits the fan, you need to be physically fit. You need to be in as good a health as you possibly can, because your stress level and your activity level could end up being greater than it ever has before. And if you're not fit, you're going to be in a heap of trouble. So those are the 16 principles of today's survival show. That's what this show was founded on, and some of these evolved as I started doing the first 100 episodes. And pretty much, these 16, and I'm going to add a few here and there, but this is what I'm going to be podcasting about from now into the future, at least the next 30 or 40 episodes. So stay tuned for that. Now, I want to wrap up this episode number 100. I want to talk about some of you, the listeners. First of all, thank you very much, Randy Croft, for helping me get this off the ground. Thank you to some of you very, very early forum members, Long Range Tactical, Shazbot, thank you very much for getting this thing going and helping me recruit people in. M. Barnattle, thank you for all of the people, Mark, that you have brought into the forum. I owe you something big, and I haven't forgotten about you. I'm putting something together for you, a care package that'll be coming to you. Ghost Rider, thank you very much for your help. To all of you who have done guest podcasts and done interviews, Lisa Bedford, the Survival Mom, thank you so much for coming on the show. Rough Rider Fan up in Canada, thank you for your guest podcast. LV Mutineer in Las Vegas, thank you for your excellent guest podcast on wilderness survival. Hilltopper in Arizona, thank you much for everything that you've done. Forgive me if I get some of these names wrong. And you know what? Some of you I may not get to mention. And if I don't, I'm very, very sorry. It's nothing against you. Mike Marlowe, thank you very much for everything that you have done in attracting people and bringing them in. Ravenwolf in Minnesota, I can't thank you enough. You've been a huge contributor to this show, to this podcast. Thank you so much. 40 Cal Joe in Florida, whom I've had the pleasure of meeting recently. Sir, thank you for your contributions, and thank you for your contributions to this country. Pat, up in Pennsylvania, thank you for what you've done. Pigpen in Michigan, thank you so much for your early contributions. Mosty, PSU in North Carolina, thank you so much. He was one of the very first members. He was early on. He was one of the first 20 or 30 members to sign up. Thank you very much. CX in the UK, my friend, I hope you're doing good over there across the pond. He's been a long-time member and a phenomenal contributor. Some good common sense that CX sends through on the forum all the time. And lately, Rainy Gardner, thank you for all your gardening advice. It's phenomenal. Midge, you too. Thank you for your gardening and your canning and all the just good practical common sense that you put on the forum, Midge. I appreciate that very much. Let me talk about a few more people that have come on to interview on this show. Jack Pine Savage, thank you much for your self-defense interview that you gave. I appreciate that. Ghost Rider, thank you so much for your first aid interview. Two of them, actually. Appreciate that. Suzanne, All-in-One Preparedness, thank you for coming on the show, talking about your excellent food items. Don't forget to take advantage of her 10% off special right now. Shadow 61, thank you for all your chatting. Thank you for your posts. I hope your cabin is doing well. I'd like to see more about it. Check out his blog, too, by the way. A lot of these people that I'm talking about have blogs. By the way, I want you to go to the blog roll and the other podcasts and the other blog section of my website and check out some of the work that some of the other fine people who are not only members of this show and this forum, but they've got their own blogs. They're doing their best they can to spread the word. Check it out. old soldier up in Indiana, first of all, thank you very much for your service to our country, and thank you for helping me do some of the moderation. And you too, M. Barnettle and Ghost Rider, you guys helped out with some moderation as well. Old soldier, thank you very much. Still love that Jeep and the pictures of it. I'll always remember that. It sticks in my mind for some reason. Lieutenant Commander Spencer Baker, who I just talked a little bit about, thank you for coming on the show and doing your physical fitness interview. You got to check out his blog. He's listed in the blog role as well. Check out his fitness blog, Lieutenant Commander Spencer Baker. I'll put a link to all of these blogs in the show posting. You guys have all been fantastic. Alexander M., young guy, thank you very much for your excellent contributions. I'm looking forward to hearing more from you as well. So many of you have just joined also in the last 30 days or so. For some of you who have just joined in the last 30 days, thank you. I'm glad to see this growing. We're closing in on 500 active members of the forum, and I appreciate that. And so with that said, I am going to go ahead and bring episode 100 to a close. I want to make a quick announcement before I do that. I want to tell you that I am going to change the format of this show a little bit. What I'm going to do, it's going to probably make it a lot easier for me to do and also for you to listen to. Starting with episode 101, I'm going to make this about a 20 to a 25-minute show, but I'm going to post them three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I don't know about you, but whenever I listen to other podcasts, after about 20 minutes or so, I start to drift. No matter how good it is, I start to drift. Maybe it's just, you know, my challenging attention span. I don't know. But you can expect a show three times a week from me from now on, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. There may be a couple of weeks I don't get three put out, maybe only two. But it's definitely going to be at least two shows a week, 20 to 25 minutes each. And if there's a subject that takes longer than 20 to 25 minutes for me to talk about, I will continue it and make it a part two in the following show. That's it, folks. Thank you very, very much. As I've always said, this is your show, not mine. Don't forget to give me some ratings on iTunes. Those of you who use iTunes, send me some comments, show suggestions. And I'm going to go ahead and sign off. This is Bob Main. You've just listened to episode 100 of today's Survival Show. Thank you for this last year of helping you harness the power of choice to live life the way you want to live it on your own terms and strengthen your resolve. Teddy Roosevelt said, do what you can with what you have wherever you are. And I hope that you continue to do that. Thanks again, folks, and I'll catch you next time.
The rest of your life.